Is this hope our hope? Okay, we have a hope in Christ, and it's a specific hope. But is this hope that Paul was speaking about our hope? It was there, and now it's gone. Oh, you guys want to get it back? There it is. Next slide, if you would. So I'm going to have to follow you for a little bit. All right. 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3 is where we actually get this hope phrase comes from. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And then he goes on to say, everyone who has this hope in Him, okay, this hope then is what? We shall see Him as He is, and we shall be like Him. That's our hope. We shall be like Jesus. And then he goes, look what he said. He follows this. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself. So you know how you know whether you have the right hope? If you have the hope that John is talking about, the hope that you will be like Jesus Christ, you will be purifying yourself like He is pure. It is the one characteristic that John chose to give of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is pure. Now, why is that our hope? Our hope is to be, so you'll see, our hope is to be like Jesus. He is pure. The idea that He is clean. He has no corruption. You can't bribe Him. You can't cheat Him. You can't deceive Him. He will never be unfair. He is completely pure. No corruption in Him at all. Now, why is this element of Jesus our hope? Why is His purity our hope? Let's talk about that. Our hope for heaven is that heaven will be completely pure. I understand, we've talked about this before. A lot of people, when they think about heaven, they think about that reunion with that person who's already died and gone there. But if you're not thinking, if that's your main reason for hoping for heaven. Because if in heaven there were injustice, if evil was there, then there'd be another life of more pain, more sorrow, more sickness, more death. The struggle that we have to deal with in this life would be there. But what makes the promise of heaven so wonderful is heaven will be completely pure. No corruption, no evil. That's it. In Revelation chapter 21, John was given a vision of, it's interesting, it's called the Holy Jerusalem, the Jerusalem that's set apart. And he described its splendor, its walls of pure gold, almost transparent. That must be an interesting sight to see. Like clear glass. And the foundations were filled with all the precious jewels that men have come to mind. And its 12 gates were 12 pearls, not 12 pearls each. Each gate was a single pearl. That's kind of mammoth size. Can you imagine what that would have looked like? And its streets were pure gold. You know how gold is so cheap in heaven, they pave the streets with it. It's just, the streets were pure gold like transparent glass. And it says that God's glory illuminates the city, and there is no night there. The gates never shut, and the nations shall bring their glory into it, into the new Jerusalem. But the description ends with this statement. And it's interesting how God, what the last thing He wants us to remember about the new Jerusalem is that nothing impure will ever enter it. That's our hope right there. Because if anything impure ever entered it, the same thing would happen there, would happen what happened here. What happened when impurity entered paradise? All the pain and the suffering that we struggle with in this life entered the earth when corruption and sin entered here. So our hope for heaven is that nothing impure will ever be allowed to enter there. Nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. You see, the king of the city is pure. There's no corruption in him. There's nothing in him that would cause any injustice. He will do everything right. He will be for everything that is right and good. All righteousness will be in him, and he will see to it that there will be no rebellion, no argument, nothing to cause the kind of disturbances that impurity have caused in this life. He will reign in purity and in power, and he will prevent anything impure from entering. In the same chapter of Revelation, we read this: those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Does it sound like any of those people will enter? Now, does that sound like God is mean? Or is he simply doing what's necessary to create a place where there's no more pain, no more sorrow, no more suffering? He will do what is necessary, not because he likes it. He doesn't take pleasure in the death of the wicked. But if he is going to create a place free from the struggle of corruption, he will create a new city, a holy city, and will prevent anything impure from ever entering it. Now, that's not the case. That's not the way it is now. Right now, we have to live in the mixture. Jesus told a parable about this. You remember what the parable was? The parable of the wheat and the tares. In case you don't know the parable, let me go over the basics of it. It said a man sowed good seed in his field. So it was his field. He sowed good seed. And while he was sleeping, an enemy came to the same field. And where he had sown the good seed, the enemy was like scattering a bunch of weeds. Yes. And then no one knew it happened until later on, because early on, whether it's the good seed or the tares, they both kind of look the same for a while, and green is green, and I mean they're small, but the more they grew together, as they began to get mature, the head on wheat looks a lot different than the head on tares. And suddenly his servants recognize, Master, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Then where did these tares come from? And the master said this: an enemy has done it. And filled with alarm, they said, do you want us to go and pluck out all the tares right now? And you remember what he said? No. Leave them alone. Let them grow together. Because if you try to pull out the tares now, you're just going to damage the wheat. You let them grow together till the end. At the end, in the harvest, that's when we'll separate them. We'll put the wheat in my barn and we'll put the tares in the fire. But right now they're going together. And then Jesus gives his own analogy here. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. What if we said the Lord Jesus would come and he will weed out of this building everyone who causes sin and who does evil? Whatever you make it, understand, right now we live with it. Right now we may not know who we... I may be one of the tares. You don't know. the wheat and the tares are going together. But when it's time, when the end comes, when the new heaven and the new earth come, the home of righteousness, in the end, there is going to be a separation. And all that is impure is going to be removed. And only that which is good and right and pure is going to remain. So the reason that heaven will have no pain is that there's no impurity. Can you see it? You see the connection? No darkness, no death. No sin equals no sorrow. No injustice equals no injury. Every corruption in this old order, we are in the old order now, before the end of the age. Everything we deal with now, all this corruption in the old order will be made new. And creation will be purified by the King who's pure. That means there'll be no selfishness, no rebellion, no crime, no terrorist, no wars, no devil, no demons, no pills, no dialysis. No poverty. No prejudice. Wow. What a hope. What a hope. We could have that now. Come, Lord Jesus. No Republicans. No Democrats. No Tea Party. I mean, no fighting. No attitudes. All gone. All goodness. All righteousness. All peace. All healing. All rest. Everything will be pure. That's our hope. It's not just living again after we die. No. That's a good part of it. But the hope is that nothing else that could even cause sickness or death will be allowed. So not only will we'll live forever without pain and without sorrow, without mourning, without tears. Everything made new because everything is made pure. Look what 2 Peter chapter 3 says. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, all the old order, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. And that day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire. But in keeping with His promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, those of you who have this hope, if this is what you're hoping for, so then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. You see what this hope produces? If you know what causes misery and pain, don't you want to purify yourself from it? Don't you want to make every effort to not have those things in your life? You don't want things in your life causing misery and pain and sorrow to others and hurt and bad to others. If you have the hope of a new heaven and an earth that is pure, then you yourself are purifying yourself. That shows that you have the correct hope. Jesus said this in Revelation, "Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes." Amen. That they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gate into the city. According to this statement, what's going to give us the right to have access to the tree of life? Clean
robes.
Blessed are those who wash their robes. And you know, our robes kind of pick up some of the dirt and dust and stuff, right? From living in this world, don't they? But that doesn't mean there's no hope for us, because we have an ability to go to the laundromat. You know, we can wash these old stinking clothes. Blessed are those who wash their robes. So how do we wash our robes? You want to know? What does Scripture say? How do we do that? What does washing our robes look like? Well, let's look at what Peter said. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 says this. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth. You know the way to get free from your stinking thinking? Listen to what God says and do that. Don't trust your mind. Don't lean on your own understanding, right? But in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Now that you have purified yourself by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. You know why Peter talks about these two things together? It's washing yourself, purifying yourself by obeying the truth, and having a sincere love for others. Paul said this about love. Love does no harm to his neighbor. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus gives, he has a new covenant, and he gives one commandment. In the first covenant, there were 618 commandments. In the new covenant, there's one. Remember what one commandment? A new commandment I give unto you. Love one another as I have loved you. All the law and the prophets hang upon this one commandment, because love does no harm to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Not only do you purify yourself by obeying the truth, you continue to walk in purity by simply walking in love. Loving others. Ephesians chapter 5. Here's what this also speaks to: how we're cleansed, how we become pure. Husband, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. Did you realize you were getting a bath today? Yeah, we got the shower curtain pulled and we got water. We're spraying water. You see the picture? What is the word trying to wash you from? Wrong thoughts. Wrong ideas. Wrong attitudes. Let the word of God flow. Let it cleanse you of the things you don't want in your life. Let it purify you. Because blessed are the men who wash their robes. They'll have right. They'll be given access to the tree of life, which is in the midst of the city. And to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. And then back to that statement where we started. Everyone who has this hope will be seeking cleansing through obeying the word of God. Because the danger of not exposing yourself to the word of God. Children seem to have this. I mean, I don't know. I think I was one of those children. I know I raised 6 children. I can't remember the times that they came to me and said, "Dad, can I please take a bath?" It was usually, "You are going to take a bath." In their minds, they never needed a bath. They were just fine. Because they couldn't smell themselves or see themselves. But God is the one telling us, church, we need his bath. We need to be cleansed because we are influenced by the world we live in. And we have been influenced by sin, the deceitfulness of sin. And it is that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And he is The Lord Jesus loves his church, and he cleanses her of the things that he does not want in her by the washing of the water of the word. That's the purpose of preaching. That's the purpose of Sunday school. That's the purpose of Bible study. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Being refreshed, often being cleansed and renewed by the word of God. Psalms 119 says, in the King James, it's, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to thy word. You know what? Hey guys, whoever you are, man, woman, young or old, if there's things in your life that you need to get rid of, you know how to get rid of them? Take heed to what God says. Because if you take heed to what he says, you can't follow your own ideas. And it's your own ideas. Our own ideas are what's corrupting us and causing us pain and misery. God is simply trying to give us his remedy to guide us into what's best. He made us. He knows how we work. And if we want to be cleansed of the corruption in the world, take heed to his word. Thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. And I have hid his word in my heart that I might not sin. There it is. That I could be cleansed of the influence around me and guided by the Spirit of truth within me. Jesus was pure, never sinned. He was born a man, made like us in every way. Jesus was pure. How did he maintain that purity? He only said what his Father told him to say. He only did what his Father told him to do. Therefore, Jesus himself lived in purity by obeying every word of his Father. That's who we're wanting to be like, right? Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself as he is pure, the way he did it. God's word is pure. I love this. It's from the book of Proverbs. It says this: the word of the Lord is pure, like silver refined in a furnace of clay, purified 7 times. It's why I encourage you to love his scripture. It's why I encourage you to rediscover the desire for the truth. Sometimes I fail to communicate that, and it comes across like you should be reading. You had better be reading or else. Well, it's not that that's not true. But I think the better way is to rediscover the power and the promise in the truth. Yes. To rediscover the joy. Because I don't think, there's not a single person here that has to be told to turn on your favorite TV show. Right? How many of y'all listen to music on a regular basis? Is that because someone told you to? Or do you enjoy it? Simple truth, isn't it? You always do what you enjoy. Wherever a man's treasure is, there will his heart be also. You know, you're going to be thinking about what you enjoy. May the Lord restore in us his joy. His joy. The joy of the Lord was doing the will of his Father. And to do the will of his Father, he had to listen to what his Father had to say. And he hear and do. And that was a joy to Jesus. And that produced purity in his life. And if we're going to be like Him, then may we rediscover the joy of the Lord. And listen carefully to our Heavenly Father, who will speak to us. And as He speaks, His Word will purify us from the things in our life that cause pain to ourselves and to others. That's our hope. Can you see how it comes together? You understand that what makes heaven such a special place is the fact that not only will we be able to enjoy people we loved, but we'll be able to enjoy them without the pain we have to deal with right now. So let's fully cooperate with the process. Let's be busy cleansing ourselves, even as He's pure, okay? Let's pray with me.